Get your notepads out. Get your smartphones and dumb phones ready. Because this series is about to change everything. And most people be like, Pastor Mike, you always say that. Because I always believe it. Because anybody that has an expectation for something actually receives in the direction of what they're believing for. So I always believe that the last thing God gave me is the best thing God gave me. Because God gave it to me. And truly, honestly, this is a topic that most people stay away from because they do not want to offend anybody when it comes to the thing that has their heart. And the crazy thing is, most people, their spouse doesn't have their heart as much as money does. The truth of the matter is, a lot of people value finances, resources, money more than they value the people in their lives. And I just want to let you know, that's out of line in the kingdom. And so today, I want to start a journey. Everybody say journey. I want to walk us through what it looks like to actually live a blessed life. I want you to write that down on your piece of paper. I will live a blessed life. Somebody confessed it, so I want you to confess it with him. Somebody say, I will live a blessed life. A blessed life is not just tied to finances, but it includes it. It includes, what does God say about me having resources? How do I handle resources? Who do I help with the resources? And how do I reach purpose with what God has called me to do? Somebody just say it by faith. I will live a blessed life. And I know that's hard for some people to even think about right now because of the life you've already lived. How many people in this room, we're a humble, open, and transparent church. How many people in this room and watching right now have had a sketchy financial past? Let's just look at that. That keeps it real wide and open, okay? Okay, the truth of the matter is, some people didn't raise their hand just because they're in denial. I don't want them to know what I got. I look like I got it. But what does it matter that you look like something that you don't have? Like at the end of the day, let me ask another question. How many people could use more resources to do what God's called them to do? Okay. All right. So today we're going to have to talk about what God or the King says about finances, generosity, and stewardship. Write them three words down. Finances, generosity, and stewardship. These aren't words that you see on Instagram or Facebook. This is not in everybody's everyday vocabulary, but these are words that are prominent and preeminent in the Word of God. He talks about money almost top three subjects in the Bible. Jesus talks about money. Yet the church don't. All they do is ask you for it. Okay. Y'all ever seen the building fund thing in the old churches? That they tell you how much was raised for the building fund. It's been 16 years that we've been raising for the building fund and the number don't change and we ain't got a new building. There's a lot of distrust when it comes to the church and finances. So let me go ahead and pop the bubble right now. Relax. Everybody just take a deep breath in real quick. Let it out. Now say relax, because some of y'all booty cheeks just got tight when I told you we were going to talk about money because you were like, what are you going to do? What building did they dumb about now? What they going to ask? Is there a building campaign? Is there a fundraiser? Where the fish dinners? None of that. None of that is a part of this presentation. In fact, if you've been around Transformation Church for any length of time, actually, when we talk about generosity, we do the opposite. This is a month of miracles, and this is a month where we want to see God bless people that ain't even expecting it. So we, in the month where people think we're going to ask for something, we give it away. Let me say it like this. In this month, we're going to give over $1 million away to other organizations. You can go ahead and clap your hands for that. Oh, we coming for some of the things that the Bible tells us to help with. as a church, because people have already bought in to the principles that I'm going to share with you, we don't got to raise an offering, because people are actually living a blessed life. And so today is really an opportunity for all of us to walk in the blessing that God has provided for us when we understand principles. And really, let me just be completely transparent with you. The reason for the last 8 years that I've done this series every single year is because the two things that people struggle with most outside of their relationship with God is relationship with other people and relationship with money. I can't tell you in the week how many times we're dealing with a money issue or a people issue. That's what pastoring is. Bishop lied to me. He didn't tell. I thought I was just going to be able to preach. I didn't know people was crazy. And usually those two issues are at the core of something. And I said, how do we change this? God said, you have to teach my word. It is the remedy for every problem in life today is found in the word of God. And so as we have decided that this year we're going to learn about the kingdom and we're not going to be king dumb, we're not going to be ignorant of what the king says, I want to approach this series from the lens of what kingdom currency and kingdom finance and kingdom stewardship looks like. Everybody shout at me, kingdom. Okay, so the reason I'm qualified to talk to you about this is because 8 years ago when I became a pastor, I was broke. Like, I want to let everybody know, because people see this splattered paint jacket. I don't even know what this is. They see this and they be like, easy for him to say. No, you don't know my story. Yeah, boy. Has 6 months of TCC education right up the street. And when I left that, I became a producer who had to get money from anybody who would actually pay me to produce their music. I was broke. I had thousands of dollars of debt. I had a poverty mindset with rich taste. Okay. Y'all know you got the dollar menu budget, but the Ruth Chris appetite. You know, can't pay for that steak. I was raised by MTV Cribs. Y'all gonna leave me out here by myself. But I still needed nurturing like I was in a crib. I didn't understand finances. I didn't know how to budget a checkbook. I was illiterate in finance. And I was trapped because I was old enough to know, but never was taught. So I stayed dumb in an area I needed to ask questions about. And so many people out here are trying to hold it together, trying to act like you know, but you got all kind of cards. You paying for stuff with Walmart cards? Okay. You can't even use a bank account no more. Cash App saved you. Okay, all right. You an overdraft in four. Okay, I'm in too many people's business right now. You're an overdraft in four banks. And you just said, maybe it'll disappear. Or some people on the other side of the spectrum, you have so much that you're greedy. That you actually think you're better because you have zeros in the bank. But your heart is nasty. You walk into rooms with people that are less than you to feel better about yourself. The whole spectrum is here today. People that may have been raised with the silver spoon in their mouth, and maybe people who stole the spoons from the gas station. Y'all know, let me take some of these for the house. Oh, y'all gonna play me in the room today. We got people who went on family vacations every year, headed to Destin. Florida again. Girl, I'll punch you in the neck. Florida again.
Mom and Dad wanted to go to the Bahamas.
Y'all grew up with boats, and the only boat we had was in the tub, like. Glory to God. What I'm saying is, wherever you come from, today I want us to humbly approach this topic. Like, I want you to take your crown off, whatever it is, and I want you to put it at the feet of Jesus, and let's go back again and see if there's something that he wants to teach us about the kingdom way to handle finances. And let me just say it like this. Many of you are suffering that have been in church for a while from the prosperity gospel. Name it and claim it. Ain't got to do nothing. God is a jackpot God. If I position myself right, give $666.72 because the word says, and page 660, like, we do all of these gimmicky things that maybe I'll hit. You might as well go down to the Osage Casino, because that's not our God. But at the same token, people are on the other extreme, and they have been indoctrinated by the poverty gospel. God don't want me to have nothing. Want me to ask you around the mouth, I'm martyr for him. How can you lend to many nations? How can you be the lender and not the borrower if you don't have nothing to lend? So if you're on either one of those extremes or been turned off to the whole subject because you've been on one, I want you to meet me in the middle. Somebody say, meet me in the middle. We're going to teach you the purpose gospel, that all money in the kingdom has a. The reason that God is giving me more is because I have a purpose. And so we're not going prosperity gospel, and we sure ain't going poverty gospel. We are going the purpose gospel. When my finances have a purpose, God can trust me with more than enough. So write this down. This is just a thought to be able to get this thing rolling. Paper without purpose is pointless. Having money, resources, finances, influence without a purpose from heaven is pointless. That's why the Bible says stuff like this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his very soul? He said it's pointless. For you to have M's in the bank, making it rain, more cars than you can drive in a week, taking vacations everywhere. And he says, you can still have no peace and have all the paper. There are people that kill themselves with millions of dollars in the bank. Why would you do that? Because you think money solves problems. God solves problems. I feel my help coming on. Some of you think that money solves the problem. No, money is a tool to help mitigate what we do on this earth, but it don't solve the problem. Jesus solves the problems. And just by the amens, you don't believe it. Because some of you are still operating in the spirit of mammon. And I don't even have time to break this down right now, but there's a spirit alive on the earth today that basically says this: either I need God to come through or I need some money. Uh-oh. And whichever one of them answers for first, I'll serve them. That's why you will disobey when God tells you to wait. But you get a job offer for more money, and it's like, I have peace about it. He told you to wait, but they put the zeros in front of it. Only like $300 more. And you'll get out of the will of God for some Starbucks coffee every week. If you've ever said, I need God to come through or I need more money, and you chose the more money, the spirit of mammon still has control of your heart. It's the spirit that says, I can do it without God because I got money. See, this is why I'm I want everybody to have more than enough, but then I'm scared for some of y'all to have more than enough. Because you would stop praying if you had. Okay. The only thing that makes you desperate is what you need. But most of us would not be devoted Christians if we did not have a need. Uh-oh. If you could pay, not this ain't everybody, but it's a bunch of y'all. If you could pay for everything, you wouldn't be in church today. And what God is saying is money just magnifies who you really are. It don't change you. It just magnifies what's in you. And today, I need you to understand through this whole series, I'm going to teach you kingdom principles. Everybody say kingdom principles that are going to help you live a blessed life. Okay? So paper without purpose is what? Okay. So now that that's established, every year when I come to this series, I try to figure out how to package it a new way because it's the same information. And let me say this. This year, I feel a different swag preaching this, and I just need to be honest with you, because this is not a test. Where I started from and where I am today is because I actually applied the principles I'm about to tell you. If you do not get this or want it, I don't care. No, I need you to say this, because this year I got to teach this kingdom thing, not trying to convince people. I need to preach this thing for people who are already committed to what God is saying. And so I'm telling you this right now because we don't got a lot of time. Usually I got 6 weeks for this series. I only got four. So I got to cram a bunch of the principles that has transformed my life into 4 weeks. And so I ain't got time to tiptoe around your feelings to get you this point, okay? So today I'm just look at my life and I'm going to tell you stories. But people who know me know that God has changed generationally. Oh, God, I can't even. He has generationally changed the ability of my family to be generous to the kingdom of God and to anybody he tells me to. Not because I'm a pastor. I need everybody to hear me say this. Not because I'm a pastor, because I worked the king's principles. So today, tomorrow, next week, and the next 3 weeks after that, I want you to listen to these principles and I want you to put them into practice. And I promise you, you're going to live a blessed life. Okay, so watch this. I was in the gym and I was thinking of what am I going to call this series? And I've been on a transformation journey. And what ended up happening is confession. I don't like lifting weights. Okay, so let me be very clear about this. It is scary and brings me anxiety to think that my neck, okay, some of y'all are really strong, but to think that my neck is underweight that I don't know if I can press up, and to think that if I let it go, like, that would be the worst way for me to die. So ever since I started working out, my trainer Vic, he would tell me, he said, Mike, we gotta get under that weight. And I'm like, yeah. Let's jump. I gotta get this fat off me. So I was like, let's jump, let's do cardio. He's like, yeah, but we gotta get you stronger. And I was like, yeah, but you know, the thing about stronger is you need weights. And he's like, yes. And I said, weights is heavy. And he says, until you lift them. And I was like, what you mean? He said, the more you lift the weights, the more you get under it, what seems hard becomes. And so then one day we was about to hit a new level and he would always say to me, all right, coach. He would call me coach. You the coach, but why you calling me coach? He was like putting responsibility on me. And he was saying, all right, coach, easy money. And I'm like, what you mean easy? This is not easy. Do you see all these plates that you done put on here? He said, no. Anytime you get under anything hard, speak to it and tell yourself that it's easy. And I was like, all right. So I'm like, easy money, easy money, easy money. And the more that I did this, I found myself getting confident. Because there were many times I would get under weight that looked like it was too heavy, but I haven't counted up all the times that I had lifted it. And it had made me stronger. And it was the simple practices of doing the same mundane thing. Weightlifting is not rocket science. It's the same stupid thing over and over and over and over again. But then when more weight was put on, what was hard became easy. And I was in the gym about a month ago, and we were going for a record. And he was not there. The coach wasn't there. It was just me, my wife, and a few of my workout buddies. And they're all women. So they call me Big Dog, and I'm sitting under there like, like, he wasn't there. And I just looked at myself. I said, Mike, this is hard, but not too hard for you. You strong. I'm talking about you strong. And all I said was, easy money. And I said, Phew! And I went down. I don't even know what noises I was. I farted three times. I said, Mike, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what had to come out of me for me to get that up. There's a word right there, ain't it? Okay. But what was once hard now became easy. And when I started to think about the kingdom of God, everything that culture makes hard, the word of God and the kingdom makes easy. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call what most people find hard about finances, I'm going to call this whole series. Everybody say easy money. I need you to say it with an attitude. Somebody say easy money. Put your swag on it at home. Everybody say easy money. By the time we end this series, what has been hard for you? I'm believing by faith. This thing about money, it's going to be what? Easy. It's going to be easy. And as a matter of fact, I want to do something. I want to start this series out in generosity. Because a lot of people, when they get to this point, it's like, Pastor Mike, you don't know how hard my finances are. And you don't know I'm on a fixed income and government assistance and there's stuff that I'm lying about right now. No, come on. I know the real situation. I'm robbing Peter, John, and Paul to pay DeQuante. I need everybody say help. So what we did at Transformation Church is we partnered with the people over at Dave Ramsey. And if you've never heard of him, he has a program that helps people understand finances. He has a program that helps people understand where their money is, give them a 1, 2, 3, 4 guide of how to get to a place where they have at least $1,000 in savings and be able to pay off your debt and all of that other stuff. So what we did is we called up Dave. And we said, Dave, I got like 20,000 people that want to do money right. And Dave was like, okay, what you want to do? I want to buy your program for everybody. And Dave said, for everybody? And I said, for everybody. And he said, okay. So for everybody that's watching this right now, Transformation Church, if you want to learn educationally how to get your finances in order, we have partnered with Ramsey Plus, and for the entire year, you didn't hear me, for the entire year, you get to go through all their coaching programs and have financial assistance for your personal finances. Now watch. If I would have gave everybody $130 in the service, they would have shouted. But because now I gave you the tools, So everybody, not for just the people in the building. This is how generous we want to be. For everybody watching this on rebroadcast, I want you to say this, and it's more than 20,000 people. Last week's sermon, 160,000 people watched it. So everybody that wants to change your financial picture, you can go to transformchurch.us. This is a message all in itself. You can select Ramsey Plus. The code is already in there. Fill out the information. It's like four little things.
and you will have access for free for an entire year. Now, don't see me next year looking like you sucked on pickle juice. Because now you have a practical step. What do I do from here, Pastor Mike? Go get your finances in order.
That's too practical for him. Okay. Preach at me. Yell at me. Make something come up.
We could leave right now. Why? Because now you got something to work. Many people don't even have a budget, don't know what their numbers are, don't know what your faith without works is. Somebody said, that'd be me. I said, faith without works is what? If you want to see something different, you got to do something different. I'm asking you, I don't care how old you are, and if your kids are in a different financial position than you, get your finances in order. Amen? Okay, so that's the first thing that we're going to celebrate. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. It says, the Lord will send rain at the proper time. Everybody say proper time. From his treasury in the heavens, and will bless all the work you do. Everybody say work. That is not a cuss word. I'm talking to a lot of different generations. For millennials and Z, a lot of times we think work is a cuss word. Mom, be quiet. My mama said, that's right. But the truth of the matter is we think that work, I ain't supposed to do all of this. And the people that are Xers, boomers, and if any of the baby boomers, I see you, Mama Chloe. Okay, if they still kicking, okay, this is true, okay. Work is an idol. Work is an idol. It has taken the place of God. So people will work. I just want to show you the spectrum. People will work religiously to provide for a family they don't know. While over here, they won't work at all because they don't know if this is worth it. And the Bible tells us that God will bless from his treasury in heaven the work you do. Okay, let me just say this because I got to set this all up. Work was given to Adam before Eve was. I'm not going to let you read too deep into this. But if you are funding a man that has a PlayStation addiction and don't have a job, some of y'all know, it's two girls in the front row was like, oh my God, Dwayne. Before you get a woman, all men had, everybody say work. Work was not a punishment in the fall. It was a prerequisite to being in the garden. And if you do not become acquainted with work, you will miss out on the destiny that God has for you. And a lot of people are allergic to work or have made work their idol. And we got to get the right relationship in the kingdom with work, okay? And then it says, you will lend to many nations. I love this part. You will never need to borrow. It doesn't even say you won't borrow. It's just like, I don't have to if I don't want to. It literally says you will never need to borrow from them. And so then when I read that, then it takes me to Matthew 6:33, okay? We're talking about the kingdom, okay? But first, I'm gonna read this from the Amplified version. It blessed me this week. But first and most importantly, aim at and strive after his kingdom. Somebody say his kingdom. And his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God. And then all of the other things that you need will be given to you also. When you do what God asks you to do in seeking the kingdom, he takes care of the finances in it as well. So then I said, all right, if I'm gonna teach people about how to have an easy money mindset. I need to give them some principles. So I'm gonna give you all 4 weeks and just a short synopsis so you can know what we're gonna do every week. Everybody say easy money mindset. Write that on your paper. I'm just teaching you today. I'm gonna preach to you in a little bit, but I gotta teach you first. Easy money mindset. This is the mind of somebody in the kingdom that understands that money is not hard anymore. When I do money the king's way, it's easy money. And I have an easy money mindset. Everybody needs money. Put money on your page. Everybody need money. I don't care where you're living, what you're doing, if you need a lot, if you need a little, but everybody needs money. But in the kingdom, watch this, money requires, there's your next M word, management. The only way that God gives you more money, you can see the parable of the talents, is if you manage it properly. And God will take away from you as his child when you don't manage properly. Go look at, he literally took away from his child that dug a hole and put his opportunity in the ground. And he took it away from him and gave it to the one that would actually do the right thing with it. What I'm telling you is money requires management. I'm going to talk to you about management next week, okay? And then the next thing I'm going to talk to you about is motives. Because management, how you manage your money, always checks your motive. Man, ain't nothing exposed my heart like money. Say somebody your friend and they don't pay you back. Come on, my best friend. Hey, let me loan me $600. Okay. When you pay me back, hey, end of the month, I got you, bro. You see that person, and it's been 1 year, 16 days, 13 hours, and 4 minutes. You like, yeah, that ain't even your friend no more. That's Bobby, who owed me. You start describing him as, that's Bobby. Why? It's because what's in your heart gets exposed when you actually start having to manage it. And God wants to check our motives because, watch this, motives determine multiplication. I'm giving you, y'all, this is gonna seem too easy, but I'm telling you, if you listen to these principles, it's gonna change your life. Money requires management. Management checks your motives. Motives determine multiplication. And then watch this. Multiplication blesses many others. What happens when you don't need to pray for something? You can be the answer to the prayer. Too many of us are praying for things that we should be able to solve. Oh no, my electricity got cut off. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And they're about to repossess my house. How much is it? $1,400? Let me talk to my husband. Let me talk to my wife. I'll call you back. Baby, you know that account we have $7,000 in to bless people with? I felt tugged on my heart to give to this person. $1,400? There seems like there's a little irresponsibility there. I saw her on Instagram showing her new Gucci shoes. Real conversations. She could pawn them mugs, but I don't think she's there maturity-wise. I don't think we're supposed to pay the whole thing, but I think we're supposed to give her $500. How do you feel about that? Okay. Hey, sis, I know there's a couple of things that you could be doing to get in the right place financially, but me and my husband felt led to just bless you with $500. To help you on this journey. And whatever you use it for, it's from us. If you use it towards a thing, but we just know you're in need right now. We want to bless you. Not, now, you can pay when? No. Here, hold up. The first or the second. What I'm saying to you is there some things that God wants to bless others with, and the only way he's going to do it is through you. And many of us are not even prepared. We don't even care. Okay, I'm gonna just give all the secrets right now. I carry money with me in a specific place that is on my security guard. Because some of y'all is about to come and try to fleece me. Forget you. Scott hold my money and he holds something else too. Just be clear, I just felt the spirit of where Pastor Mike at. But I want to, Scott, am I telling the truth? I go to the bank every week in preparation to bless whoever God tells me to. Not, watch this, not bless every moment I want to. Because it's not my money.
Oh, God.
I'm the manager of it, but he owns it. And I have been places where it is, let me just tell you something. It is an inconvenience to give. Giving's hard. Do you know how much red tape you have to go through to give a car away? Signing the deed. Giving some the insert, the tag, the this, the that. And yet, God placed it on my heart. And he may be placing it on your heart. He said, I want you to do something. And it doesn't matter what it costs you. I need you to be ready to be generous in all seasons. And I'm trying to prepare the church for the blessing you think you want. Because right now, everybody think, if I had it, I'd do it. Pastor, you know me. I give you the shirt off my back. The truth of the matter is you have something right now you can give and you don't give it. You have something right now that God is requiring you to practice the muscle of generosity and you will not do it. And God's saying, I'm watching how they manage what they got. Why would I trust them with more? And why would I trust them with true riches, which are people? See, the money is just play for the real thing that God cares about, people. And when you handle money right, then he knows you can handle people right. And when he lets you start handling people, watch out. Because then you get to actually experience what it is to live in your God nature. Okay, let me stop. I'm too deep for some people right now. Okay. So right now, I gave you what we're going to do the next few weeks, okay? And this is the thing. If these become your precepts, your pre-thoughts, they'll turn into your principles. Principles turn into disciplines, and disciplines turn into your culture. I want you to have a kingdom culture, but it starts with thinking the right things. That's why Proverbs 11:24, this is one of my favorite scriptures that got me out of poverty. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. This is a universal principle in the earth. If you are generous and don't even love God, your world gets bigger. Oh my gosh, they don't even believe me. You think you got to be speaking in tongues. God said there's principles. Gravity is a principle in the earth. Jump up, you coming down. He said another principle in the earth is sowing and reaping. You don't got to believe in me. You plant some seeds. I have made it a principle that something's going to come up. When you are generous, it is a principle. This is easy money. Be generous. Your world just expands. Do you know that I have, over the past 8 years, become so generous to the point that it raises questions in people who love me? Have you ever been so generous that somebody be like, are you sure? What you gonna do? But that's our last. I have become so comfortable in generosity, and I'm so grateful to do it because I know where I was. I was broken. I was lost. I was addicted to pornography and addicted to poverty. Oh. See, people talk about some of y'all are forcing your kids to eat food that they don't want. Okay. Oh, God. I crossed the cultural line right there. I felt it. I felt the ancestral demons coming to get me.
But the truth of the matter is, because in your family, you were told, don't get up from that plate until you eat all your food. That was fueled by fear and poverty. And so now your kid is a glutton. So they eat when they're full. And you're teaching them that this is proper stewardship of the food instead of their body. Oh, God. And so now they get older. And anytime they go to a buffet, they load up and take the to-go box and do all the things. Because mama said, don't waste no food. But it was based on fear because we may not have enough. And so now they have a problem expanding somewhere else because it was based in a poverty mentality based off of fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What I'm saying is there's all of these things weaved into our lives that we don't even understand that God's saying, that is not even how I want you to live in the kingdom. I want you to be able to have more than enough. And that's why I need you to start with being generous with what you have. Everybody say this with me. What I have is enough. You can be outrageously generous with what you got. How many pair of shoes do you need? How many hoodies do you need? Come on, y'all. How many cars do you? This is going to offend selfishness. And that is my goal right here, is to make you understand that all you have is all you need to start being generous right now. So where did God start with me? He started telling me, empty your closet. And I said, Lord, I want a new wardrobe before I empty my closet. I need you to bless me indeed before I bless somebody else. He said, that's not how it works. It's seed, time, harvest. He said, find them young boys that like your style. Give them the clothes. Yeah, no. Not even the ones that you just worn a lot. The ones with the tags on. Well, Lord, that's just a little, it's a little much. And I'm telling you my real story. When I was in debt, I would go through my closet and just give. 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 And guess what else I gave? Not money, time. Bishop, you remember when you had lost all that weight? And I said, Bishop, I'm gonna take you shopping. And I took Bishop to the suit store when I didn't have no suits. And God had me buy Bishop 4 suits that cost as much as my whole closet. And he said, I want you to sow into this man. I wasn't in line to be the pastor yet. And I wasn't trying to be the pastor. Let me just be very clear. This was not on my wish list. But I knew I had to start with what I had. And I started being generous. I just started. Okay, I'm telling you something. You can give your treasure, but you can give your time, or you can give your skills. See, some of y'all are thinking, well, Pastor Mike, talking about money. I don't got money. No. But you got a skill that you could use your hands to show your heart and start doing something right now. You see people in need and don't make them pay for it with your attitude. Uh-oh. So you didn't make them pay no money, but you made them pay. I'm on time. Where y'all at? Is this the level of expertise I'm working with? Get your old. What I'm saying is what you have now is enough to make your world larger. What if in March our world got bigger? Not because of what we got, but what we gave. Oh, my God. Think about a world where a church could actually be the place, the giving center of the world. I'm going to just throw stupid vision out there. What if every need in our community could be answered within the people that are in this room right now? And the people who are watching online in Transformation Nation, they won't even clap for it. It's crazy. They won't even clap for it. Y'all, Evan, what if we could end homelessness in Tulsa? Not because of the government, because the church took a stance and said, no, we'll build a community. We'll get them houses. They cheer for the miracles, but they won't cheer for helping somebody. All I'm telling you is the world of the generous gets larger and larger.
and the world of the stingy. Your world been shrinking for a decade. Today I'm coming to open you back up. I know it's been rough on you. I know the pandemic tried to end you. I know that the business shut down. I know that you were supposed to get a settlement and it didn't come through. But God is saying, but in the kingdom, we're on a different economy. Yeah, it might be a recession year, not in heaven. Oh, I just felt that. Not in heaven. For the kingdom kids, whatever's happening on earth do not affect what God can do with me. When the pandemic shut everything down, God so orchestrated my first book ever being released in the middle of a pandemic. I was in this back room crying, and I had one of my friends call me and encourage me. He in the room right now. He said, bro, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. I said, why? I can't go on the book tour. I can't do nothing. He said, God has captivated the whole world and given you an audience. And this message is going to go like wildfire. I will call that man a prophet, because as soon as that book dropped, that thing went everywhere. If it was dropped today, it probably would have done good, but it wouldn't have done what it did. And I'm not ashamed of this, and I give glory to God because I obeyed his steps every step of the way. That one book changed my family's financial future forever. No, y'all, we don't even rejoice with those who rejoice. That is crazy. I don't got to go speak nowhere. I don't got to do nothing. And it's a message that's evergreen. I didn't ask for it. God gave it to me. I was just faithful to work it. It changed everything. My daughter, we got a book about to come out with my daughter, A Couple Love. Me and Bella wrote a book off of relationship goals, didn't we? We're going to help kids understand it. It's changed everything. But why did it change everything? Because I worked in a season where it might not have seemed worth it. Okay. Okay. So somebody say easy money. Okay, I'm just trying to get you ready. Okay, so many, remember, put the things back on there because they got to get it. This is class. Come on, put it back up there. Money requires management. Management checks, let's say it together, okay, class? I'm going to be your professor today. Let's start at the top. Money requires management. Management checks motives. Motives determines multiplication, and multiplication blesses many others. Does that make sense? Is that easy enough? Okay, so now I got to tell you I've forgotten one. And this is what I got to talk to you today about, because this is what I've taught every year. But the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, Michael, you're teaching this assuming that people have money. And so today I need you to go back and I need you to teach them the kingdom principle of, watch this, mastery. That's good, I think. What he about to say? Okay, good. Mastery. I found all throughout the Bible that there was nowhere that people of God went after money. Nowhere. Find it. There is nowhere where people that God called was like, hey, I got to get on my grind though. No. The early bird gets the worm. I got to rise and grind, rise and shine, rise and dine. I got to hustle. I got to move. There's nowhere you find the disciples setting up chicken dinners before they go into town to keep the ministry afloat. Y'all, find it. There's nowhere, because in the kingdom, write this point down if you don't get nothing else. Money follows mastery. There is a biblical precedent that you need to master something on this earth. And we have been teaching the church to pray and not get a skill. Oh my God, I'm about to be in your business. I'm just over here praying. You need to read something too. And you need to practice something. and you need to try and fail, and you need to ask for help. We have gone away from mastery searching for miracles. Oh, I'm about to preach this thing. And the Holy Spirit came to me and said, Michael, stop asking them to manage what they ain't got. You're assuming they got money and they got something, but they don't got nothing because they have not mastered anything. And mastery only comes when you watch this F word, focus. Money follows master. Just think about it. Noah started off as a novice boat maker. But after years of putting this boat together that nobody had seen, even when there wasn't rain, 515 feet of boat and getting animals on it, and the biggest miracle is convincing his family to still work with him. There was a level of mastery to what Noah did to build something that actually floated. I done some science fair projects that didn't float. And he built a 515-foot boat. Everybody say mastery. Think about Daniel. Y'all remember Daniel? It said that Daniel in a captive situation was seven times better than everybody that was born into that situation. Him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were so much more excellent. They were masters at the language. Masters at excellence. When they came in the room, you didn't have to respect their God, but you had to respect their skill. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't wait to the day where believers are so good that you ain't got to believe what I believe, but you got to believe the results. Oh, God. There is something in the kingdom that is developed in people who will commit to mastery. Think about David. David was a master at getting the shepherds to do, getting the sheep to do what he wanted to do. He's a master shepherd. But he wasn't just one-dimensional. He was multifaceted. He was such a good guitar player that when the king needed somebody to torment the devils that were coming to haunt him, they said, Jesse's boy, he cold on that guitar. And he got to the position of the palace before he would reign, not because of his spiritual prowess. Oh my God. What if God wants to take you into an area that you will want, you will soon be king in, but he wants to take you there in the disguise of your skill? But you're not good at nothing. Or you've decided to be subpar. Because for many of us, it's a decision. You could be better, but this job don't pay me enough. My Bible says that we're supposed to do everything that we do as unto the, but you've been doing it as unto your boss. And you've been doing it as unto your paycheck. And what you have done is cut the preparation that God is trying to give you in mastery. And that's why your money low. You can literally be good and become a master at anything. And somebody will pay you to do it. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Okay, I see I'm going to have to work this a little better. All right, let me just give you, I didn't finish with David. Shepherd, guitar player, then he was a sniper. He was a sniper. That baby took some smooth stones and a slingshot. The whole army was out there. Sniper, he was skilled. He had mastery with insignificant items. What people are calling insignificant is just my little administration gift. What? You're a sniper. There's somebody looking for a sniper. I'm looking for a bunch of snipers. Well, it's just, I just make little art on my. Do you know how much people pay for people who do just little art? But we're discounting what God is counting on. You have stopped going, you're older. oh, your life is over. Well, I'm 56. What? Do you know Quincy Jones wrote Thriller with Michael Jackson at age 50? He literally said his career did not start until he did that at age 50. Mastery. What was the other 49 years? Practice. Oh my God. It was preparation for a moment to work with an artist who would do all styles. Everything, if you go study Quincy Jones' history, and this is me because I'm a producer, he did stuff in jazz, he did stuff in pop, he did stuff in rock, he did stuff, but it was all the preparation so that when Michael Jackson started, you're a vegetable, you're a vegetable. Like, what is he? Okay. Like, he knew what to do with that. Mastery and money follows. Okay, Jesus. What was Jesus other than our Savior? Why? Why would our example give us his life as an example of ministry and mastery? To give nobody an excuse. I don't care how skilled you are, you still need to do ministry. And I don't care how ministerial you are, you still need to have mastery. We literally see Jesus at 12 in the synagogue. Oh, I'm feeling my help coming on now. And he's doing the ministry stuff. He don't listen and tell his mama where he going. He didn't put his GPS on. She finds him. He says, I'm doing the Father's business. He said, but I'm about to bust you up. We don't see Jesus again for 18 years. But could it be that the 18-year hiatus was there so he could develop mastery in the dark? Uh-oh. Not on a platform, not in front of everybody. We don't hear. They just always say that he was a carpenter, that he built things, that that was Mary's son, the carpenter. They always were. He was so good that it was a part of his title. Oh, my God. What happens when people don't have to use your name? They know your skill. Okay. This only for half the church. Because some of y'all just going to be, God, just do it. Do it for me, Lord. God, I'm just asking you to do it. He said, do it for yourself. I put inside of you the ability to produce wealth. This is the Bible. I need you to do something with what I gave you. You need mastery. Okay. Malcolm Gladwell says in his book, Outliers, that it takes 10,000 hours devoted to something specifically to become a master at it. Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay. And a lot of people are like, 10,000 hours, that might as well be a million hours. I don't know. I promise you, you've given 10,000 hours to movies. I promise you, you've given 10. Social media is a new invention. I promise you, if you haven't, you're close to have given 10,000 hours to Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. Some of y'all MySpace freaks. I know y'all. LinkedIn. I know you've given 10,000 hours to emails. I just want everybody to take in consideration how many hours we've given to something. And it said you literally could become a master at anything. I want everybody to think about this right now. Caleb, where are you at? Tell Caleb to come here. I need him to come and get on the piano real quick, okay? Because I want you to see the difference between somebody who's messing around and somebody who's a master. Okay? I'm gonna show you me messing around. Turn the keyboard on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on up here. And I'm gonna show you. I got the title, okay, of pastor at this church. Yeah, bring me over here. Where the camera? Hello. Okay, here we go. So I can fake you out. Uh-oh, hold on 1 second, okay? Hey.
Now, as soon as you ask me to go to another key, I'm going to have to move to the side. Because I've perfected something very specific in one level. Caleb, could you get on the piano, please, and make me look very bad? Caleb, if I just hum a note, I say, find that note. Play something in that. Who cares? Take it up, two keys. Okay, stop. Stop. You're making me look very bad. If I just start humming a random song that I'm gonna make up right now, you can follow me, right? Because you've spent hours focusing on them white and black keys while I was playing video games and chasing booty. I'm gonna tell the truth anyway. He was sitting here practicing. And so literally, this is how we write songs. I get with a master and I just start humming stuff. Da 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 da. And da 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 da. Yeah. So do that again. Some da 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 da. One more time. This is how I made all my babies. I want everybody to understand this right now. Okay. Okay, okay. Well, now he done made a song. Lord, I love you now. And Lord, I love forever. Lord, I love you now. And Lord, I love you forever. Sing it with me. Say, Lord, I love you now, and Lord, I love you forever. Y'all, we just made a song. Y'all, I don't know how far you want me to push this. I'll come back next week with verses, I promise you. Okay. What I'm saying is, when I got with a master, what was hard for me became, but it was the years of focus away from the lights. And I know everybody want to be famous now. Want their Instagram count to go up now. Wants everybody to know what they do now. But God, in the dark season, developed mastery. And if you're going to have money to actually manage, you need to focus on mastering something right now. Okay. So Jesus is our example. They said that if you commit 10,000 hours to a craft, you can become a master. But then I saw this other study that my friend sent me this week by Anderson Erickson, a professor of psychology at Florida State University. And it turns out that spending 10,000 hours to become a master is not the fastest way to become a master. They found out that it depends on how good your teacher is. Y'all, when I heard that, if we have Jesus, who is a master teacher, it actually makes up the difference for my efficiency, my deficiency.
And I can actually become a master at something quicker, submitted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Write this down as a point. The master teacher can expedite your mastery. I'm telling you today that if you decide to actually start working and focusing on something the Holy Spirit leads you to do, and you do it with God's help, I'm a living witness. I don't have no business degree. Yet I run hundreds of millions of dollars of business. Now, I know most pastors won't ever say that, but I am, because I actually went to school with the master teacher. Tammy, our business manager, we was broke when I took over the church. Like, y'all, everybody in the room, see her shaking her head. We were broke. I read books. I went to conferences. I came back and gave her books to read. I said, we gonna figure this thing out. And the master teacher took what I was deficient in. Oh, God. But because I put my focus on it, said, God, I'm going to learn how to get out of debt myself. I'm going to live the blessed life, and I'm going to teach a generation of people how to be the lender and not the borrower. I'm going to teach us how to own something. They want the government to bring back Black Wall Street. The church is going to buy up everything in Tulsa. Y'all don't hear me. I said, we going to do it ourselves. I need the rise of a holy rebellion, but we cannot do it without mastery. Stop being okay with the middle of the pack. Every promotion they look you over, it's not because you don't have the skill. You haven't applied yourself. Guys, the master teacher wants to teach us. Let me say it like this. I'm making a declaration here like I did when I was overweight. I live completely transparent. Almost 270 pounds. I told y'all I was going to get my body in order because the Holy Spirit told me that he only could bless the ministry at the level my body could take it. That wasn't a prophetic word for everybody, though you could take notes. But in the dark, the Holy Spirit said, get that in order. Now he's been challenging me to do something. I will be able to play the piano like Caleb plays the piano. No, I don't need you to clap. You're going to see. Because God prophesied over me when I was 1 year old that I would, a day old. Yes, Mom, thank you. A day old that I would listen to the word the prophet said. I would master several instruments. And because I mastered the drums. Thank you, Mama Chloe. Because I mastered the drum. I can play the drum. I can go on tour with anybody on the drums. I can do that. Okay. But when it came to that, because I was good at that, I thought that was enough. So I settled for one tool. I settled just for one thing when God wanted to give me multiple things. Y'all get ready. It may take me 10 years. It may take me 20 years. Caleb's going to teach me. I'm going to be with a master teacher. But what I'm saying to you is the same way I applied myself in this area. It's the same way I'm about to apply myself in this area. Y'all are going to see, mark my words, over the next 10 years of me pastoring, there are going to be days where I'm going to pull a piano out here. Y'all thought we worship now? Wait till I get these keys unlocked. What I'm saying you, it's not too late. I don't know. I just feel that spirit like just starting to like sit on people like, no, you got the master teacher. He can expedite everything that you thought was going to take you a long time to do, but you have to start focusing. Okay. So this is what I tell everybody. We're going to talk about money next week, but we got to talk about mastery this week because you got to start something this week. Somebody say, I got to start something. Why do you got to start something? Because before you invest finances, invest your focus. Oh, that's nasty. You would see a better return on your investment if you just would invest your focus. I don't know nothing about the stock market and the Dow Jones. You don't have to. You know something about your focus. And wherever you put your focus has the opportunity to be a seed that you sow that will show back up in your future. I want everybody to find something this week that the Holy Spirit is leading you to, and it don't have to be the forever thing. Do y'all know how many things lead to the thing? God is a progression God. He doesn't give you the end of the journey and say, this is it. He leads you to where he wants you to go. So you may be doing something that don't even seem like it applies with the thing that he told you to do. But I promise you, all things are working together. You need to put your focus in an area. How do we do this? Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. What I want you to do is keep your eyes on Jesus and focus on something. Master something. If you're good at something, become better at it. If you're so good at that, you don't got to work at that no more. If it's easy, learn something. Become a student again. Who are you learning from right now? Where are you investing for your skill to be better? And most people are just working a job that they hate to survive a life that they can't wait to get out of. That's why we're dreaming of heaven. And God said, I don't want you to come here yet. I want you to bring heaven where? To earth. That's the kingdom. So watch this. Where you focus now will cause fruitfulness or frustration. Wherever you focus, everybody shout at me now. I'm telling you, the rest of 2023, wherever you put your focus is either by this time next year gonna make you very fruitful or make you very frustrated. That's all you got. Well, God, I don't see nothing. You don't see nothing when you plant a seed the next day either. But there is a principle at work. There is seed, time, and what? It's coming back up. Sow something now, Brooke. Sow something now, David. Sow something now, Sarah. Sow something now, Trinise. Sow something. Don't secure the bag. Secure your craft. Oh, shoot. Waking up to secure the bag. Secure your craft. Get better. Sharpen it. It don't matter if you're better than everybody around you. They're all lames. But now go after something. Oh, okay. Oh, God, I shouldn't have said it like that. But you in your small fish tank talking about, look at me. Go to the ocean. Some of us won't even put our stuff in places to get critiqued. You so Christian, you can't handle critique. Oh, God. I'm not letting no negative words come in my life. If you're going to do anything great, it's going to be critiqued. And true artists are usually misunderstood in their lifetime. Oh, God, I can't even. I got to kill these things that because we're Christian, that means we're good at it. You're not good because you became a Christian. You're good with God. You still can't sing. Oh, God. I was thinking about joining the praise team. Please don't. You still can't. This may be too much for people because we want everybody to get a trophy. Don't try, but get a trophy. I mean, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes. But the people God uses, he requires excellence from. You don't go to the kingdom and get poor service. You don't go to the kingdom and get people who not on time. You don't go to the kingdom and get people that it's 5 o'clock. Ew. You came 45 minutes late. But you leave right. I mean, you at the door with your bucket and your lunch and your everything at 4:52. Just want to be integrous. Beep, five, you out. Computer was shut down 35 minutes before, yet you came in late. You represent the king? You the one we supposed to follow? You're the state. Oh, you're representing, huh? It's time for the church to commit to another level of mastery. Don't make it rain, discover your lane. I don't make it rain. No. Discover your lane. Get in that thing and just run there. There's a race set before you, the Bible says in the New Testament. Run your race as one that wants to win and finish and endure to the end. Don't hustle and grind. Seek the kingdom and find. I'm trying to let everybody understand. Why? Because money, watch this, follows a mission. In the kingdom, you get a mission from God, you will never have to worry about money. I'm just telling you right now, I am a living witness. I did not have any money to do this mission. So I doubled down on the mission and God brought the money. And God, this principle works everywhere. Sell out to the mission. God brings the money. Okay, so I'm gonna show you in the Bible and then we're gonna go home. This scripture jacked me up. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. I'm talking about mastery. Somebody shout at me, easy money. I can't wait. I've been holding this all week. Matthew 17, verse 24. This is the story when there was a temple tax that had to be paid and Jesus was on mission and they came to collect the money. So watch this. Oh, I love how Jesus handles money. Verse 24, on the arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus, so gangster, he already know what's happening. Jesus asked him, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? They tax the people they have conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. I could turn this whole thing out right now, but we're not going to cause these problems today. So go down to the lake and throw in a line, go fishing. Open up the first fish you catch and you will find money or a large silver coin. Take it and pay the taxes for both of us. Oh, this nasty Bible. Let me break this down. Everybody say easy money. Jesus is now faced with the opportunity to come off of his mission to start worrying about money. They're there to minister, and they're like, hey, y'all got to pay taxes when y'all pull up at this port. And Peter's like, yep, let me go ask Jesus. And Jesus said, what you want to do? We're going to actually not cause a ruckus today. We're going to pay the taxes. Well, Jesus, who going to pay it? You got some money? I got some money? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Go down and go fishing, and I'm going to put the money in the most unlikely place. When the last time you saw fish with money in their mouth? But what I want to do is create a miracle. So I want you to go fishing. The first fish. Oh, my God. Everybody say first. The first one is going to have the money in it. If I'm Simon Peter, I'm like, oh. Me? You want me to go fishing? I don't know if the miracle's gonna work, but fishing, I can do. Why could Peter go fishing? What was his profession before he became a disciple? He was a fisherman. Jesus asked him to go to his space of mastery. Oh my God. He didn't ask Luke because Luke was a doctor. And if he would have asked Luke, he would have said, get your stethoscope because I need you to go find it in somebody's heart. But because he asked Simon Peter, what was his instruction? Go do what you're a master at already. Ooh. And when you do what you're a master at already, the resource is right there. Y'all, this messed me up because it was easy for Simon Peter to go get a miracle because he was used to the mastery before the miracle showed up. The reason you got to focus in this season is because God's going to call on something that's familiar. He's not going to ask you to scale a mountain or to sew clothes and you can't even sew up your own crotch if something comes. He's not asking you. He's going to say to me, Michael, take the message I give you and put it in book form. What I got to do today? Get with a master writer. You speak it because that's your lane. Get with them. They translate it into book form. And then you go through it. And then it's a number one New York Times bestseller. He didn't ask. No, y'all not hearing me. He did not ask me to come out of my lane of mastery to produce the miracle. And if you don't give God something to work with, he can't do the miracle. Okay. All right, this is too much for y'all today, okay? Write this point down. Mastery is preparation for a miracle. The reason I work on what God has told me to work on right now, as a pastor, as an author, as a producer, I'm working on stuff that I feel dumb at. Because God is preparing me in this season for other seasons. I'm sowing right now in the dark and trying to become a master at things, honestly, I don't have to do. If you would look at my life and be like, he don't got to do that. I'm not doing this for you or anybody else. When the Holy Spirit tells me to focus on something, I owe him my life. So I begin to focus on whatever he's asking me to master. And I'm going to keep doing it until it turns into a miracle. Look at this. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. Mastery is preparation for a miracle. He literally, I want you to go back to that scene. He said, catch the fish. And then, watch this. He tells him to do something else. What's the next instruction? Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Now, I bet Simon Peter was thinking, man, I done fished a lot. But usually when I open up the fish's mouth, ain't nothing in there. It took faith. Even though he was in an area of mastery, it still took faith for him to see the miracle. Write this point down. It still takes crazy faith to get the coin. I don't care how much mastering you have in something, you need God to walk with you so that when he tells you to do the unconventional thing, y'all, I wrote down 37 days after I became the lead pastor of this church that this building would be our church. That was me opening the fish's mouth and putting my hand in there. Ooh, that feel weird. Ooh, are they looking at me? Ooh, what is going on? And it still takes crazy faith. To obey God, it's going to take crazy faith. And this, watch this. And then it says, and you will, everybody say will. And you will find a large silver coin. Watch this, write this point. Mastery gives you something to manage. It was because in a season that he didn't even know Jesus. He was working on a skill. When Jesus required it of him, he had enough mastery to go catch the fish. When he caught the fish, he had crazy faith to put his hand in the mouth. And when he got the coin, now he had something to manage. That man could have took the coin and been like, I'm out, Jesus. I just got a payday and I ain't even putting nothing in. I'm out. And that's what a lot of people do. They take the blessing, they forget about the blesser, and they go live it up with the coin. But what did he do? He had something to manage. What did Jesus tell him to do? Take it, and watch this, pay the taxes for both of us. Huh? Hold up. Was there enough in his mastery and obedience to the master to not just provide for him, but it provided for somebody else? Somebody shouted me, overflow. Last point, mastery connected to the master always gives more than enough. It was his ability to fish and obeying God that paid for both of them to not have to go sell fish dinners. The Savior did not have to sell fish dinners because he stayed in his lane and he developed somebody in their area of mastery. Pastor Mike, what are you saying to us? Never follow money. Focus on the master and mastery. That's it. From now on, y'all, we're not following money. We're following the master and mastery. What is it that the Holy Spirit's saying? Work on that a little more. Start doing that. Start reading about that. Start. Go pay to take a class from them. Walk up to them and ask them, how much would it cost for an afternoon? I ain't paying for that. Okay. But remember, a master teacher can give you what it took them 30 years to learn in 30 minutes. Bishop, as my witness, I started off not knowing anything about money, budgets, anything. I got bank presidents on text message. Last week, I can't even tell you what happened to me last week. I ended up in somebody's house last week that if I told y'all, y'all would flip out. I woke up in the morning not knowing God was going to make this connection. By that afternoon, I was sitting in the largest compound I've ever been in my life, having a one-on-one conversation with somebody who has changed the world. All I can do is look into this camera very deeply and let you know this was not anything but God. That man gave me his cell phone number. And he said, you call me anytime. You need anything. Hold on. There are some people that say that and they can't give you anything. Let's be very clear. Some people can say, call me if you need anything. It's like, yeah, never mind. This person, when I say I could call him, if I needed anything. But why could God trust me with that relationship? Why could he bring me? Why? She said, because Michael, you've developed the key to the kingdom. Mastery in relationships. Mastery in communication. Mastery in getting in this Bible. That's why the Bible says study. To prove that you've been in this thing. If you're a graphic designer, design. If you're a singer, sing. If you're a dancer, dance. If you're an administrator, administrate. Commit to another level of mastery with the master. If you do sign language, sign. If you organize, organize. From all this week, we just gonna say the same thing twice. If you taste food. Y'all got it. Y'all got what I'm saying. Like, do you understand? Like, if you do fashion. If you braid hair. Like, I'm going to another level of mastery. If I teach, don't matter what the school system says. It doesn't matter what the principal, what they think and how they're limiting the kids and all that stuff. You could be the teacher that changed that child's life. If you're a teacher, teach. Commit to another level of mastery. Because money follows mastery. And when you do money the king's way, it's not hard. It's what? Easy money. Standing everywhere. Today, I hope you feel convicted to go back and look at it again. You weren't meant to just work to survive. Can I say that again? You were not created by God to work to survive. I need everybody to focus in on me just for a second. You are meant to thrive and to expand the kingdom of God. Not in heaven, but right here on hands lifted. If you know there's another level of mastery that you need to go to in an area of life, I want you to lift your hands. Today, I'm just going to pray over you. Yeah, at home right now. This is a fresh commitment to whatever God wants to place your hands on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. Here I am leading the charge. God, I'm asking you to give me another burden to come back again to you to ask you, what do you want me to put my hands to? Today, God, I thank you that we're learning the kingdom principle of mastery. Father God, whatever we have done before, it has been great, and some of us it's not been that great. But today we're making a fresh commitment. We are turning away from the way culture thinks about this. Father God, we're not just trying to scrape by. We want to represent you and your kingdom. So today, Father God, I thank you whatever our hands find to do, we will do it as unto you, Father. I thank you that there will be the burden to be able to learn, Father God, the literal fire. This is what I feel like, the fire of God coming on us to be a student again. Father God, I thank you that you would stir up the gifts on the inside of us, Father God. Those things that we have let lie dormant because it didn't seem like it was going to create financial gain. I thank you in the name of Jesus that passions would come back to people. Father, that you would give us fresh vision. Whoa, I feel God right here. Fresh vision for where you want us to spend our free time. Father, I thank you that you would teach us the responsibility as well as, Father God, the mastery. Father, let us not leave everything to go find this thing, but Lord, teach us the tension of being responsible for our family and our kids and all of those things and working on whatever you're telling us to do. Father, give us the courage to downsize if we need to. For a season to be able to learn what you have for us to learn. God, I thank you that we only come to you today in humility. Father, no matter if we have enough money or we're just barely getting by, God, I'm asking you to give every one of your children the ministry of mastery. Father, we want to be able to manage what you give us your way, but Father God, many of us need more to manage. So today we realize and recognize, we change our mindset. We change our mentality. Father God, we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Work is not a bad thing. It's what you gave us, Father God. So touch our hands. Give us the ideas, Father God. Show us who we are to be on this earth. And let us not just need to see a prayer answered. Let us be the answer to prayer. Father, I thank you that you're changing us from the inside out. And we will be kingdom ambassadors to expand your kingdom. We give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise. And what culture has made hard with money, God, today we are declaring by faith from now on, when it comes to us, stewardship, generosity, and finances, it's easy money. In Jesus' name we agree. If you believe it, would you shout all over this place? Come on. If you're going to another level, if your mindset is changing, let's give God some praise. Somebody got it. Generationally, listen to me, 2 minutes. Generationally, this message is going to change your life. Watch it back. Now you have a resource with Ramsey Plus. Go look at that. Go watch all the other series. I done packaged this thing. Wait till I get my money right. Ducks in a Row. What's another one? What is it? Paper Chasers. Go back and watch. Listen, the transformation starts here. It don't start here. Where does the transformation start? If for the next 4 weeks you lock in with me, I promise you, what's been hard is about to be what? Easy money. If you're watching and you've never given your life to Christ, let me make your whole life easy. Not easy like there's nothing bad that's ever gonna happen to you. Easy like you can know who's with you no matter what. Today I wanna give you Jesus. Do you know what? Everything about my life changed when I gave my life to Jesus. See, this series is all about giving, generosity. When Jesus came, the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And right now, when he gave, he did it on a maybe, but he was hoping you would be here watching this in this room today so that you could have an opportunity to give back to God. What can I give God? Your life. I'm telling you, it seems so countercultural, and it is because it's kingdom. But when you give your life to Jesus, he takes all your mess and he turns it into your message. He takes all your pieces and he turns it into a what? Masterpiece. Today, if that's you, this whole message has been prompting your heart by the Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. And there's a group of people in this room that are praying for you. And there's a group of people that are in this room that need to make this decision for Jesus. If that's you, and you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day. On the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. Religion would tell you, tell us everything you've done. Confess your sins to us so we can use them against you later. It's not what you got to do in here. This is an inside job first. We believe one day you will find your belong group and you will find the people that you rock with. And that's where you'll get healing. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Not to me as the pastor, not to the Pope, just one to another. It can be a plumber or a beautician. And he said, then you pray for each other and that's when healing comes. I'm praying for your people so that you can do that. But right now, Jesus said, just invite me in. And then if that's you, today is your day. You want just a blessed life? I'm telling you, how you get that is invite Jesus into it. If that's you, say, Pastor Mike, include me in that prayer. I want you to just shoot your hand up on the count of three. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you. But more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all of eternity. Three, just shoot your hand up. I see you right there, brother. I see you right there, sister. Come on. There's people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, there's people. Transformation Church. This is why we do this online. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ right now, I see you, sister. Transformation Church is a family. This is why we exist, and nobody prays alone here. Would everybody just lift your hands and just pray with us? Say, God, thank you for giving your life, your son, for me. Today, I repent. I turn from my old way of living and I turn to you. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. And today, I give you my life. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we shout out for all the New Kingdom citizens? Y'all can do better than that. Our world is getting bigger. Hallelujah. Next 3 weeks, everybody say lock in. Buckle your seatbelts. Next week, I'm coming for the throat. Invite all your friends. And listen, if you need prayer for anything and you're in this room, we have an entire prayer room for everybody right outside. Some of us need prayer to break some of this stuff off of our minds and our hearts. Or you're going through something else I didn't even talk about today and you need agreement right outside the door. There's a whole prayer team that has been trained to pray with you. And what we want you to do is stay locked in because God's about to do something special. If you just gave your life to Christ, I want you to text 828282. I want you to text SAVE to the number on the screen. And we're going to give you some resources. And for everybody else this week, I want us to be listening to what God wants us to master. And next week, we're taking it to the whole next level. We're going to learn some management. Amen? Until next week, go out and live a what? Transform life. I love y'all so much.